Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7 on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We are in 1 Kings, and glad you could be with us. Please catch up. Start with episode 1 on WVFFradio.com. It's episode 1 on WVFFradio.com. You'll either be hooked or you'll come to the station with a pitchfork and a torch. But I tell you what, if I say it, it's in here in black and white. And if you follow along with us, I'll show you where it's at. It's like this is the second time around for mankind on this earth. It says so right there in the Bible. And if you believe what the Bible says in its totality, that makes science and the Bible absolutely go together. And Satan doesn't want that. He wants to put doubt in your mind. Yes, those fossils are millions of years old because they were part of the first age of man. It's right there. Starts in Jeremiah. And then God wiped out the earth with a flood and he put the sun out that time and eons passed over. And then he started again, because he said he would, right there in Jeremiah. I know my wrath will one day cease, and I will begin again. And you turn to Genesis, and it says, the earth was void and without form, and waters covered the deep. And God said, let there be light for at least the second time. And we have the line of Adam. Eve had two children. Well, let's back up just a little bit. There are two accounts of the creation of mankind, male and female. He said, create them, and told them to replenish the earth. You can't replenish something unless there was something there already. And then we had two children in the womb of Eve with two different fathers. It's right here. You got to catch up with episode 1. And I think you'll be hooked or you'll come and want to martyr me here on the steps. Either way, I can show you in black and white. Go to WBFFradio.com and catch up. So, God gave Abraham the first covenant in its simplicity. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. His children proved they couldn't do it, so he laid the law on them like a good father does. You don't want to do it the easy way, we're going to do it the hard way, children. He laid the law on there as an absurdity to how he could prove to them that they could not do anything to make themselves holy. It requires divine intervention. And that requires the heart to follow God. So after the children of Israel were given the law, things just went downhill and downhill and downhill. The law can make you sinful by accident. You don't even know you're sinning sometimes. That's how specific the law is. And if you don't believe in Christ, you live and die by the law today. And Jesus Christ came through his one-time sacrifice to fulfill the law and put the first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments. He said, to Abraham before the Ten Commandments, a couple hundred years, said, I give you a covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Well, Christ came back to reestablish that one. I don't care what the pastor said. The second covenant was the Ten Commandments and the Levitical law. Christ came back to reestablish the simplicity of the first covenant. Follow me and be baptized. And that is all about the heart. It doesn't matter what you say in church, no matter if you went up front 27 times over your lifetime, if the heart is not following God, it's of no avail. And I tell you, Christian, if you claim to follow Christ and you hold on to this law, you're telling Jesus Christ what he did just wasn't quite good enough. The law is bondage. Christ gives you liberty. Don't go up to heaven with a portion of the law in your heart, because the Bible says if you hold on to one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. Though Israel went into the promised land, they did not remove all the inhabitants like God said. And he said right there before they went in, if you don't kick them all out, you're going to be cursed. Well, they're cursed, and within 200 years they go into civil war, and then they demand a king from God, who God said, I want to be your king, but no, they wanted a man, just like all the other nations have. He gave them Saul, that didn't work out too good. He gave them David, a man with a heart for God, and God was truly blessing David's kingdom and growing it. And David fell into excess, Christian, God says, I place the spirit in the heart of man. The mind of man is contrary to the will of God, and the flesh is an abomination. It's up to the spirit man to gain control of the mind and guide this abominable flesh in the right path. Well, David, through excess, and excess will put the spirit man to sleep. Don't feed this body more than it needs. I'm talking about food, talking about drink, I'm talking about worldly pleasures. Keep everything in moderation, Paul said. All things are legal for the Christian, Paul writes, but not all things are good for the Christian, and everything must be kept in moderation. Otherwise, you will put the spirit man to sleep, and this flesh will rule the day. So, we have come out of King David's reign. David was cursed because of his affair with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah, and all the lies and deception to try to cover it all up. He was cursed by God. He said, strife will come from your family, and the sword will never leave your family line. Even today, we see Israel struggling in the Middle East, having to fight wars all the time. Well, the strife came. There were two coup attempts in David's kingdom. They were put down, and his son Solomon was placed on the throne. And Solomon, at this point, has a heart for God. He's built God a temple. He's built himself a house. He is beginning to dabble in excess, which we said, all things in moderation. But he already has dozens of wives. He has a lavish house that is more lavish than the temple that he just built for God. He is just going down that path, although his heart is still following after God. And God said in the dream, he said, Solomon, you can ask anything of me. What do you want? And he said, I would like the wisdom to rule your people properly. And God liked that. And he said, because you didn't ask for wealth and greatness and long life, I will give you the wisdom to rule the people properly. And I'll also give you wealth and wisdom and greatness. And if you follow my statutes, long life. Okay? So by not asking for having a humble request, which you should be very humble when you get on your knees to God, you know, ask for things for your neighbor that you know needs them instead of yourself. God knows what you need already. Praise God and ask for other people, and he will bless you. That's what Solomon did. He says, what would you like, Solomon? He says, give me wisdom to rule your people properly. You know, how many of you out there, if God came to you in a dream and says, ask anything that you desire, what would you want, Jonathan?
Oh man, I need about, well, a couple of years to think about that. But yeah, goodness, yeah, the temptation there.
Oh, what an amazing temptation. Yeah. It would be difficult because the first things that would come to your mind would be wealth, cars, yachts, boats, you know. Yeah. But Solomon was very humble. He said, give me wisdom to rule your people. And because of that, God gave him everything. There's a lesson right there in your prayer time, Christian. Be humble in your prayers. Worship God. Don't ask for things of yourself. He knows. The Bible says he knows your needs. And if your heart is following after him, he wants to provide them, and he will provide them. And if your heart is really following after him, it says he knows the desires of your heart. That's the extra things that you don't really need. He knows them, and he wants to give them to you also. But your heart has to be up there following after him. So we're here on chapter 8. Solomon is just built the temple and his house. Like I said, he's taken multiple wives already. And he is just watch in 1 Kings, watch for the excesses of Solomon, especially at the end. Chapter 8, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is in Zion. So he's got his temple done, and he wants to place the Ark in it. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the Ark. They brought up the Ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. They brought all of the tabernacle possessions. Remember the tabernacle, the big tent that God had constructed? And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that's the poles that hold it on the side, because you cannot touch it. You will die instantly. There was a soldier that was walking beside it, and the carrier stumbled, and he just, out of reaction, oh, I got to catch the ark, it's falling. Unfortunately, God's law is very, very strong and binding. And they drew out the staves. The ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the ark. Can you imagine the tension in that room?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Jonathan, start pulling your stave out. Easy, easy.
Same time.
Sully,
right?
Sully.
I turn in the keys for a minute.
What are you doing? You're pulling it too fast. And they were not seen without. And there they unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there in Horeb. When the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel, when they came out of the land of Egypt, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Amazing. Instantly, God has possessed the house that Solomon has built for him. So that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. So God is occupying the first temple, and if you read this Bible very closely, you'll see that God never occupied the second temple. The Ark of the Covenant is not present among the items listed brought to the second temple. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it is in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thy heart. God says, I appreciate you wanting me to build a house, David. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. Because God told David there was too much blood on his hands. God likes a righteous warrior and a righteous soldier. David was that. The blood was talking about Uriah's blood. The murder of an innocent man. Thou shalt not kill is a mistranslation. Killing is necessary in life. God says to do it all the time. The law says to do it all the time. The true Hebrew translation of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not murder. Murder says that's an innocent person. Innocent people were never meant to die. That's why Christ, when he went to the cross, he was innocent. Under the law, he was absolutely innocent. He had kept all the statutes. Satan was prosecuted for the murder of Jesus Christ. That's why it went so badly for him. Just another person they sent to the cross. No. Most of the people sent to the cross in those days were guilty. Christ was innocent. God says, you shall not. If a man can come into this world and fulfill the law, which only one could, he would live forever. Because God says, thou shalt not murder. Christ was innocent and Satan was prosecuted for the murder of the Son of God. So the death of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband was a murderer that David had on his hands. That's why he said, "You will not build my house." And if you turn to the last chapter of Revelation, when the city of God, heaven itself, comes down onto the new kingdom, it lists a whole bunch of people that will not go into that city, and murderers are one of them. It's, you know, God's kingdom is vast. Yeah, I know your pastor's been telling you you're going to heaven all these years. Probably not. I'm not going there. But God's kingdom is vast. There are seven types of people listed in Revelation 3 and 4. And only two types of them actually enter the city of God once it comes down onto the new earth, into the kingdom of God. The city of God is heaven. You have to watch the words real closely. Most Christians aren't going to heaven, but they are going to the kingdom of God.
And not going to heaven doesn't mean that's a bad thing.
Oh, no, right. No. Right. If I am on the farthest outpost in the kingdom of God, told to make sure the stars don't attack, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Or stand here and hold this door. That's fine with me.
That's what I always said.
Because I don't deserve it.
I don't deserve
even the furthest outpost from the city of heaven in the kingdom of God.
If I'm just a simple landscaper, that'd be fine.
Yeah, there you go. So it all matters. The wording in this book is amazing. A single word can change the entire meaning of a passage. You got to look at every word. I've read this book over 100 times in its entirety in different passages, hundreds of times, and I still get things. And I will, if I can make it to 1,000 times, I will still get things. God said so. He says, "I put mysteries in this book, and it does my heart good that kings search them out." Not even common folk, kings. Kings are these haughty people. Why would I read the book? Remember what happened to the nation of Israel once? Yeah. Once they get past Solomon, they get into all their different kings. And after a while, they've lost God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you remember that?
Become completely complacent with whatever's going on and just... Yeah. Yeah, they basically started making up their own rules.
You remember? Things are going really bad, and the priest comes to the king and says, "Look at this ancient book that we found."
Yes.
He says, "Open it up and read it." Oh my gosh.
It says instructions on the front of it.
Basic information. Following God. Where were we? "And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am rising up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and I have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt." Okay, he says, which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers. Talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, but it all comes from Jacob. Okay, so he's taking it back to Jacob because Abraham was given a completely different covenant. He says, "I give you a covenant, follow me with all your heart." But the children of Jacob couldn't do it. They were given the covenant that we have. The Ten Commandments was the beginning of it, and it was placed in the ark. "Now Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart." Everything in this Old Testament is about the heart. If you're reading your Bible, you look for that. You look for that. The theme of the entire Old Testament is the heart. Follow me with all your heart. The religion of the law never mattered if you followed God with all your heart. "Who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him? Thou speakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, and thy promisest him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in the sight of sit on the throne of Israel." God promised David there would always be a line of his family on the throne, "so that thy children take heed to their way, and they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet have thou respect unto the prayers of thy servants and to his supplication, O Lord, my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. I realize, Lord, this house is not the universe. How can it possibly contain you? But please take it as a token of our appreciation and love for you.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.